So, have you ever had one of those moments where you just knew, kind of deep down, that something unseen was at play,
Yeah,
protecting you?
like a near miss or maybe a strange feeling.
Exactly. Or just, an inexplicable turn of events that completely saved the day. It really makes you wonder, doesn't it? Is there maybe an unseen team, like a, I don't know, heavenly protection squad looking out for us? What does that even mean?
It's a pretty profound question, actually, and you see it explored in lots of different cultures and spiritual ways.
Right.
Today, our deep dive is going to look at a very specific take on this idea. It's drawn from the Faith Beams GP podcast.
Okay.
We're focusing on one episode, episode 11. It's part of this really extensive 16-part series they did on Psalm 91.
16 parts.
Yeah, it's detailed. This particular episode is called Heaven's Protection Team, God's Angels on Assignment, Psalm 91 Series, Part 11.
Got it. So God's angels on assignment. What's our mission then for this deep dive? What are we trying to pull out of this?
Well, the goal is really to unpack what this specific source means by that phrase, God's angels on assignment.
Okay.
We're focusing pretty tightly on Psalm 91, verse 11. You know the one. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways.
Right, I know it.
So we want to extract these sort of key insights about what they think angelic roles are, all based on how this podcast sees it.
And it's interesting you mentioned the source. They have a pretty wide reach, don't they? I noticed they give shout-outs to listeners like all over, Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya.
Oh, yeah. Trinidad, Tobago, Barbados, Guyana, Brazil, Italy, France, the UK. It's quite global.
Which kind of hints that we might be hearing about some pretty diverse stories and experiences connected to this idea.
Exactly. And what's really insightful, I think, about this source is how they anchor this whole concept of angelic protection right there in Psalm 91.11.
Okay.
For them, that phrase, command his angels, well, it isn't just a suggestion or a possibility.
Right.
It signifies a direct divine order. Like it's a command from God for these beings to act specifically for us on our behalf.
So the podcast isn't just saying angels might step in, but that they're actually assigned, like it's their job description.
That's exactly the framing, an active assignment.
Okay, so how does the source build that case? What biblical examples do they bring up to, really make that point stick?
They lay out a pretty strong foundation using some well-known biblical stories as case studies.
Like what?
Well, think about Daniel in the lion's den, right? The story says an angel shut the lion's mouths.
Okay, yeah. Classic example.
Or Peter in Acts 12, he's in prison and an angel just, well, leads him out
Right.
miraculously.
Right. Past the guards and everything.
Exactly. The source also points to Matthew 4.11. After Jesus's temptation in the wilderness, it says angels came and ministered to him.
Provided for him.
And then there's a really striking one from 2 Kings 6, Elisha and his servant. The servant's terrified because they're surrounded by an enemy army. And Elisha prays, and the servant's eyes are opened, and he sees the hillsides full of horses and chariots of fire. An angelic army, basically.
Wow, okay. So these aren't presented as just like one-off flukes.
Not according to the source, no. They're presented more as illustrations of, ongoing divine intervention through these assigned angels.
And I guess if you connect that to the bigger picture, it really seems to reinforce that idea in Hebrews 1:14, the verse describing angels as ministering spirits.
Exactly. Sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. That's the one.
Right. So it paints a picture of a continuous assigned role, not just crisis intervention, but service and protection.
That's the argument being made, yeah.
Okay, but then how does this translate to today for listeners, for you and me? Does the podcast bridge that gap?
It does, and that's where this deep dive gets, I think, really compelling. The podcast moves from these ancient accounts to what they actually call angelic protection testimonies.
Okay, testimonies. So like modern stories.
Yeah, modern day stories. And they're often quite intriguing, sometimes pretty mysterious in how they unfold.
So we're not just talking about vague feelings here. The podcast gives specific accounts.
Oh, very specific. For instance, they share a story from Italy. A family, apparently saved from a really bad car crash by a stranger, a mysterious person who pulled them out of the wreckage and then just vanished, completely gone.
Vanished. Huh. Okay, what else?
There's one from Kenya, a missionary reportedly facing a violent mob. Witnesses described seeing a sort of glowing presence around him, and he was unharmed.
Glowing presence. Wow, does the podcast offer any like explanation for why these protectors seem to disappear afterwards? Is there a common thread there?
You know, the source doesn't really give a hard theological reason why they disappear. The common thread seems to be more about the inexplicable nature of the rescue itself.
Oh, okay.
Like, there's no normal human explanation readily available, which leaves the divine, or angelic in this case, as their primary interpretation.
Gotcha. So the mystery is part of the testimony.
Seems that way. They also talk about a story from Guyana. A child got lost in the forest, was missing for 2 whole days.
Oh, wow, scary.
Found totally unharmed. And the child claimed a tall man in white had stayed with him, kept him warm.
A tall man in white.
Interesting.
Then there's South Africa, a woman escaping a flood, carried to safety, apparently, by a stranger who, again, vanished without a trace once she was safe.
It's a recurring theme, then, this vanishing helper.
It seems to be in these particular accounts they share. And one more from the UK, a teenage girl caught in a dangerous alleyway felt like an unseen force literally pushed her away from someone about to attack her.
Pushed by something unseen. That's powerful stuff. These stories really serve as kind of modern day echoes of those biblical examples then.
That's exactly how the podcast presents them, as affirmations of that core principle from Psalm 91.
Okay, so these accounts are pretty compelling. It does make you wonder though, what are the, let's say, rules or the parameters for these angelic assignments, according to the source? Do they just act on their own? Is there a dynamic described? Yeah, the podcast is actually very clear about this part.
Mm-hmm.
Angels, in their understanding, they don't replace God. They're not acting independently.
Okay.
They execute God's will. That's the key. And their assignment, going back to Psalm 91.11, is to guard us in all our ways.
All our ways. Not just, like, during huge emergencies.
Exactly. Not solely during moments of obvious crisis. The idea presented is more like a daily ongoing guardianship. And they back this up with other scriptures, too. Like Psalm 34.7, talking about the angel of the Lord encamping around those who fear him.
Right, surrounding them.
Uh-huh. And Exodus 23.20, where God promises to send an angel ahead of his people to protect them on their journey.
So it's just something more constant. Maybe even subtle day-to-day guidance or protection, not just the dramatic rescues.
That seems to be the implication, yes. A broader scope of protection.
And you mentioned they execute God's will. The source makes a crucial point, doesn't it, about prayer, that we don't pray to angels.
Oh, absolutely critical, yes. Right. They emphasize that distinction very strongly.
So it's not about us trying to command angels ourselves.
No, not at all.
But rather acknowledging that God is the one who commands them.
Precisely. Recognizing God's authority over them and his command for them to act on our behalf. That's the line they draw.
Okay, that's a really important clarification.
And it helps, they argue, to clear up some common misconceptions people might have about angels.
Like what kind of misconceptions?
Well, the source really stresses that angels aren't, you know, mythical fairy tale creatures or just sort of cute figures like you see on greeting cards.
Right, the cherub image.
Exactly. They're described in the Bible and in this podcast view as mighty, powerful, holy beings.
Mighty.
And another point they make is that angels don't operate based on emotion or sentiment. They act strictly according to God's word, his commands.
So very purpose-driven.
Yes. And this understanding kind of frames their role within a larger context, what the Bible calls spiritual warfare. They reference Ephesians 6.11.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers.
Yeah. Exactly. Against spiritual forces. So the podcast really wants to reinforce that this angelic help they're talking about is presented as real, tangible help, not just symbolic.
That definitely challenges some of the maybe more watered down popular ideas about angels. So if this is presented as a real active force, how does the podcast suggest people, you know, practically apply this? How do they bring this angel awareness into daily life?
They offer some pretty practical advice, especially when it comes to families and children.
Okay.
Parents are encouraged to actually recite Psalm 91.11 with their kids.
Yeah.
To sort of build that angel awareness from a young age.
Ah, like making it a regular part of conversation or a prayer time.
Exactly. And it extends beyond the home, too. They mention community initiatives where schools and churches are encouraged to host things like angel awareness devotional.
Devotionals focus specifically on this.
Yes. Finding creative ways, especially for kids, to memorize Psalm 91.11 and to visualize this idea of angelic protection around them.
That's interesting. Do they share any examples of that kind of thing in practice?
They do. There's a specific story they share from Barbados. Apparently, a school there made it a practice to recite Psalm 91 regularly, especially during storm season.
Uh-huh.
And the report, according to the podcast, was that the school building experienced no damage during a significant storm, even while other buildings nearby suffered quite a bit. It's presented as a direct result of that focus and declaration.
Wow. That's quite a claim. And does the podcast link this idea to bigger events, too? Like large-scale disasters or global situations?
Yes, they definitely broaden the scope. They reflect on angelic protection during things like natural disasters, hurricanes in the Caribbean, floods in Europe, but also other crises like raids or unrest in places like Nigeria.
So moving beyond just individual protection to community or even regional.
That's the connection they make. They share more testimonies. For example, a church in Trinidad that reportedly survived a landslide intact.
Yeah, yeah.
Or believers in Brazil surrounded by wildfires who claimed they actually saw what looked like winged shadows above their roof and the fire didn't touch their home.
Winged shadows. That's evocative.
Isn't it? And another one from France, a Jewish Christian community center that apparently experienced some kind of miraculous preservation during a period of intense civil unrest.
So these examples are used to suggest that this angelic assignment isn't just personal, but can impact communities facing significant threats.
Exactly. That's the picture the source paints intervention on multiple scales, from the personal to the communal, even in the midst of major world events.
Okay, so wrapping this up, what does this all mean for you, the listener? We've taken this deep dive into the Faith Beams GP podcast, episode 11, and it's given us this really specific and fascinating perspective on unseen angelic protection.
Yeah, it's quite a narrative they build. It stretches right from these foundational biblical accounts through to these very modern, sometimes quite startling testimonies.
Suggesting this continuous active role for God's angels on assignment, as they put it, impacting personal lives, but also potentially larger events.
It definitely invites you to consider a reality where maybe protection isn't always visible or easily explained by just the facts we can see.
Yeah.
Maybe as you listen to this, you've thought of your own moments, times where you felt inexplicably safe, maybe, or experienced a lucky break, a fortunate turn of events that just seemed, well, against the odds.
Hmm. It's certainly food for thought.
It is. So maybe as you go about your day, it could be interesting to just reflect on those experiences. Perhaps consider, you know, different perspectives on the layers of protection that might or might not be at play in your own life. Just something to ponder.